Welcome to Listen in Wonder. Join us as we explore the wonder of who God is and who He has created us to be. Each week, we encourage you to pause, listen carefully for the voice of your perfect Father, and wait to hear whatever He says to you. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Well, it is Wonder Wednesday. Not only is it Wonder Wednesday, it's a little mixed emotions because it's the last Wonder Wednesday for a little bit. We are here sharing our final story, our final episode for the season of Listen in Wonder. It has been beautiful and it has been sweet to get to hear stories of how God is speaking to us, how God is revealing Himself to us. We encourage you to continue to just tune your ears and your mind and your heart to a God that wants to speak to you, to a God that wants to spend time with you. So I'm excited and a little bit emotional, I will say, as we get to share the last story. And I do want to say thank you. I want to say some thank yous. Thank you, Ben Ripperton, for walking us through these non-podcasters into the podcast world and just kind of being a great support to this project and what we've done in trying to extend Wonder beyond the day of conference day. And so we're grateful for you, Ben. Thank you so much. As we get going today, I am excited. I think it is totally appropriate, only the way the Lord can do, that we're ending with somebody from our conference team. And this person has been a part of conference, been a part of Wonder for a long, I don't even remember how long. And so I'm super excited that she's the one that is sitting with me today and then I get to introduce you to her. So with that being said, I am grateful that my friend and partner in all things conference, Melanie Neswadami. Did I say that right?
Very lovely. Yes.
Okay. I know how to spell it too now.
I mean, I have multiple ways. So you can't really.
Melanie Neswadami from our West Fort Worth campus. I have been so grateful for her heart and for her, the way that she leads. She is a servant. When I came into this position, one of the things I really wanted and desired was that women from all of our campuses would be at the table as we planned and prepared for conference day. It's a huge sacrifice because she drives across the Metroplex to all of our meetings and serves with such an incredible heart. But I think it's important that women from all of our campuses are serving in leadership of Wonder Conference. So thank you for doing that. So diligently. And Melanie, just say hello to our listeners and maybe, I don't know, how do you want to introduce yourself today?
Know.
Tell them a little bit about you.
Okay. We can go from like grassroots to.
Yes.
Again, Melanie Neswadami, whatever.
Neswadami.
And you know, my brother says Neswadami.
Tomato, tomato?
So, yeah,
is it like
really
that?
Is. Okay. It really is. It's okay. I was born and raised in Fort Worth. So I'm a local, true and true.
Okay.
Parents were born and raised in Fort Worth.
I don't think I knew that about you. Your
yes.
parents were born in Fort Worth and you are a native Fort Worth. Wow. Y'all have a long history of Fort Worth.
My friends will joke at the West Campus, she's Miss Fort Worth. I'm like, oh no, Fort Worth has changed way too much for me to know much
but
more.
We can start calling you Miss Fort Worth around
no.
here. That's very fun.
Nah. And so I went to college in Fort Worth. Okay. I went to grad school in Arlington. So I never had the opportunity or took the opportunity to move away, just to give you a little piece of that.
Yeah.
Let's see,
that.
Where do you want to go from there?
And your brother, you have one brother.
I do. I have a brother and I have a sister.
A brother and a sister.
I'm the youngest, so they're significantly older.
Okay.
My sister's like 11 years older. My brother's 7 years older.
You're the baby.
I am the baby. My folks have been married for almost 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
So...
there's a really sweet story there.
Yeah, there
we
is.
We may get to that. I don't know. Well, tell us a little bit about what you do. What is it? What does your day-to-day look like?
Day-to-day, like career-wise, my full-time, I'm a social worker.
Yeah.
And I work for a healthcare system.
Okay.
And I have the opportunity to meet with nonprofits and we manage grants.
Oh,
so we're
that's
the funders.
Exciting.
It's really exciting.
a lot of hard work, but also very rewarding, I'm guessing.
We get to bring organizations together and talk about how they can work together, how we can fund their visions. Mm-hmm. They have to be innovative. It can't just be something they're already doing.
Oh, that's exciting.
So I've been doing, I mean, that's part of the wonderful thing about being a social worker. You can do multiple things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. So, it's endless, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
My passion was working with women and children, so I did that for a long time.
Okay.
Working with midwives.
Which is why maybe when the conference volunteer position came about, that probably
100%
was a part of your heart.
Yeah, there's just something, I mean, not against working with men or with, I just typically am drawn to women and children.
Okay.
It's just a sweet spot for me.
I love that because I think as we get to hear people's stories on this podcast, we recognize that God is a creator and the creator, but how creative he is. And yet he made you with the gifts that you have and the desires that you have. And it's sweet to see how he's using that all like in your career, but also in your, the way that you serve your church and the way that you are drawn to people. It's really sweet to get to know that.
And it's good to hear that from like the other side, right? Because I don't see that sometimes in myself. So it's good that people point that out.
This is a plug for community here. We were not designed to walk alone, were we, Melanie?
No.
Not at all. Well, what do you want to share with us about your story maybe on how you came to be in a relationship with the Lord? Do you want to share any of that? And if there was any kind of scripture or something that anchored you?
Absolutely. Both.
Okay.
Okay. Where do I start? Cool. So my mom, she was, I guess you'd say the faith leader in our home. And so my dad was raised Catholic and he just grew up Catholic, went to Catholic schools and he just stayed home. And mom always had us raised in Church of Christ.
And so was your mom raised in the Church of Christ?
She was, but I also remember her telling me like my great uncle was a Pentecostal preacher.
Okay.
And so I think, you know, say dabbled, but I think she was just exposed to many other faiths.
Okay.
But she's definitely the faith leader for our family. And I think she very much led her immediate family to Christ too.
Oh, that's amazing.
But I mean, I was raised, and when we look at Fort Worth, I was raised in Northwest Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. And then it was Midtown Church of Christ.
Okay.
And
that one on 35?
Yeah.
Is that one? Okay.
Now, I think it's Heritage Church now. They changed names. But honestly, I didn't really have a relationship. I went to church. It was the right thing to do. Mom had us there every Sunday, wherever, Wednesday, whatever time the church was open. But I've been in awe of seeing younger people have a relationship with the Lord because I didn't have that. My brother and sister, they had that, but it didn't come till later.
Okay. So when did that come for you? What did that look like?
Mom and I started visiting the Hills, which was North Richland Hills Church of Christ.
Okay.
I think when I was like 20. So
were we a one campus church at that point?
Yeah, we were one campus.
Just to give us a little bit of
historical
infrastructure.
Background.
Yeah.
And I don't remember why we did. I think my mom was looking for something on a Sunday night and our other church had changed their schedule.
And so you're in your early 20s.
Yeah, I'm like 20 years old. And I just remember coming that one service and I feel like that was the first time I heard the gospel. And mom and I both had like a very brief moment where it was, we're not going back to our other church, that we're going to continue to come here.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It really
was. The number of times that women will tell me, whether it's a Sunday morning or a group they come to or conference day, that they feel the presence of the Lord here. And I think because I've been here for, since 96, that's just how it is. You know, that's just how it is for me. And so I don't think about the experience of having been somewhere else and then coming in and experiencing something different.
And I can't explain it. Like it was just a tenderness in my, I wanted more.
And y'all both felt it.
Yeah.
That's really
sweet.
It was
a clear indication. At that time we were still a cappella only. So this is way before multiple changes.
We're aging ourselves a little bit.
Yes, we are.
Here.
I'm so sorry. So I guess kind of flying a little bit forward, I graduated college and I do remember, because I got baptized at 21. So I wanted to kind of lead up to that, that I spent a year coming and being poured into, going to Jenny New's women's class, like, or singles. I can't remember. I'm getting my times mixed up. But I just remembered, because we were talking about how the Lord speaks, is that's when he started to work on me. Because I just remember driving around, graduated college, trying to figure out what is my next path. Am I going to grad school? What am I doing? And I just had a call to, I need to be baptized. And so in the middle of the day.
So you felt that, like you felt like yeah. this is, okay.
Undeniable, like, uh-huh.
I just love that, Melanie. I love that you are driving in your car and you're just, you know, probably kind of talking to God, probably internal dialogue too, mm-hmm. of what's my next step. And you're thinking career mm-hmm. or school.
Absolutely.
And the Lord's like, hey, your next step is to get baptized.
Right. And I haven't looked at it even quite like that. mm-hmm. But so I literally came to the church office in the middle of the day. And
who baptized you?
I was going to say, I don't know if she remembers, but Jenny New did.
And I bet she does remember.
I don't know if that was a long time ago.
I cannot imagine that she does not. We will ask her.
But I believe it was also Bill Anderson.
Who?
I don't know if it was Bill Anderson. I won't give names because I'm not so 100%.
Well, no, I mean, that could be.
Whoever may have been available when I walked into the church building in the middle of the afternoon.
If you don't know that this happens. Like, baptisms happen a lot during service times. But mm-hmm. there are often times where people stop at the building for prayer or for baptism. Mm-hmm. And it is a really sweet thing to get to be a part of.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
So I think that's probably definitely one way. I know the Lord speaks to us and me in different ways, but I mm-hmm. think it's been the knowing.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know what you call that.
I know I need to do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that you're saying that, because part of what we wanted to communicate is that the Lord speaks in different ways. It is often not an audible voice. It's a thought or a prompting or a pursuing, or maybe it's a worship song, or maybe it's something in creation. And so, yes, you can be driving down the road and have a thought that comes from God and recognize that's His voice.
100%.
Yeah. So I think also it's so beautiful to listen to that and know that's a part of your story, because there are blessings that come out of obedience. Just because you heard that thought, or just because you thought, I need to do this, doesn't mean that you act on it.
Yeah. I call those my toddler fits.
Oh.
Because I've noticed those times where something keeps repeating itself and you don't, I don't want to mm-hmm. do it, but mm-hmm. he keeps tugging at me to do something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why does this keep coming up? So I call mm-hmm. that my toddler fit.
I love that. If we're being honest, we all have toddler fits from time to time. Are you sure, God? Are you sure you want me to do that? Well, that's going to be hard, or that's going to, you know.
Yeah, it's an internal fit that you mm-hmm. can't have like a toddler. Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's a trajectory thing for you and where you are now, that you have been able to, over all these years, run other decisions past Him.
Oh, yeah.
Other things that were on your heart because you had that experience, and then walked in obedience for it.
I mean, there's so many stories. Yeah. I mean, even think of how I ended up at West Campus.
Well, tell us, how did you end up at West Campus?
I don't know where to go. So that was another one.
For our listeners that are maybe not from the Hills, we are a four-campus church across Dallas-Fort Worth now. And Melanie has been a part of West Fort Worth. Tell us how you went to West Fort Worth.
In the beginning. Well, I live on the west side of Fort Worth. And so I remember being part of this campus, the Richland Hills campus. And they were talking about that campus. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, that's great. But I'm not going there.
Why? I'm sitting here thinking that you would have, like, your eyebrows would have lit, like,
no,
your face would have lit
why.
Up because your roots are in Fort Worth.
I don't know. I have no idea. I do know that I was seeking a small group.
Okay.
Because that was difficult to get on the other side of town after work.
Sure.
And so I did. I sought out a group that was literally across the street from me. I drove up. Mm-hmm. I remember, and this, I have multiple layers of my story, but I remember I had already connected with the leader, loved, they were super, super inviting. But when I drove up, it was all young couples.
Okay.
And part of my story, I'm divorced.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that was kind of more freshly divorced at that mm-hmm. time. And I thought, mm-hmm. I called my mom. I'm like, I can't do this. Mm. And so I remember driving away.
Thank you for sharing that. So you didn't even go in.
I didn't. I literally drove around the block and called my mom and said, I can't do this. This is...
Wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But.
And also I'm sitting here thinking, Melanie, was this one of those moments where, which we're friends, so I'm going to add, don't be thinking I'm going to ask everybody this deep of a question, but like choosing that small group across the street, do you feel like in a sense that was, and I do this too, trying to take control of my own like, rather than asking God, do you want me to drive across town? Are you really asking me to drive across town? Or I'm just going to control this thing right here and go to the one across the street. Was it one of those types of decisions?
Trying to control my comfort zone?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Or what was really keeping me? Because I was younger then, too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. My relationship with the Lord looked different then, too.
Sure.
But I was definitely seeking community and letting whatever the lies in my head or whatever go on keep me from that experience.
But I think there's a lot of women that are going to be able to relate to this. Like, I choose what I'm comfortable with. I choose what is convenient. Mm-hmm. I choose my preference. And with that, not that the Lord can't bless good, godly, biblical community.
Yeah.
But also we might be missing a blessing that he has for us.
Well, he continued to, because I'm a server, like you said. Yeah,
so you drove around the block, you did not go in, you called your mom, but you didn't give up on community.
I didn't. The West Campus put out a, hey, we're volunteering in the west side of Fort Worth. I'm like, okay, I'd love to serve. I'll sign up. I go, I connect with somebody who also goes to West Campus. She invited me to their small group, and I already had worked with her, volunteered with her all day, so there was already this, like,
rapport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I trusted that.
Yeah.
Well, I show up at a different house and the same group.
It was the same group?
It was the same group, just a different couple at a different home. So at that time, it was, I always, and they don't go to our campus anymore, but it was Beth and Jared Cox.
Okay.
And so I'll never forget that she was the one who connected with me. And the hysterical thing the Lord does, and like, this is the group I want you at. It's not what you think.
Uh-huh.
And planted me there.
Okay. Oh my goodness. See, the Lord is so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't give up. He just keeps pursuing us into what he has for us. Wow, that is beautiful. So you've been at West Fort Worth then since the beginning.
Yeah, since the beginning. And that is kind of where the beginning of that community started.
Mm-hmm. I love that, Melanie. Mm-hmm. I love that so much. Well, will you share a story? I mean, that's kind of one story of you've shared a couple of the Lord speaking to you or giving you a thought or giving you some direction. But is there a specific story that you would want to share with us about hearing God's voice or a time that he revealed himself to you?
Oh man, there are multiple. You know, I keep saying the word no, but we also mentioned, like, is there a particular verse that speaks to you?
Yes.
And I think many are familiar with the Psalm 46:10, be still and know I'm God. And I wear it on my necklace most days.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom is the one that when I was going through the divorce in 2008, it's been a long time, lots of demands, lots of chaos, lots of things going on, that she reminded me of that verse. And that's what I cling to. And so ever since then, I mean, take, how many words is that? 4 to 5 words and be still and know.
Well, and think about that. You said your mom had been pretty much the spiritual leader, director of your home, instilled in all of her kids.
Yeah.
You know, this is who God is. And as a mom, I can tell you, if one of my kids is hurting, I so badly want to fix it. And the wisdom of your mom pointing you to be still.
That's really hard when I'm a fixer.
Yeah.
Recovering control freak.
Like, that is so sweet to just think about those being your mom's words.
Yeah. Because in that moment, it meant, like, I've looked at that verse over the years, that be still, that pause, that let him take control, versus when I hear it now, as I continue to say, he's really pointing to me to know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just amazed that the smallest verse continues to speak life over me.
Mm-hmm. And when you're needing something, that's an anchor that you can just pull back and recite and sit with God, like, be still. Just be still and know that I am God.
He's in control.
That's beautiful. So he still uses that to speak to you today.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, share a story with us that.
Share a story with us.
Or what that maybe has looked like recently for you.
Oh my goodness. I think every day when I think about,
that's the goal. That's the goal.
Cause I look at I don't know if this is what you're like looking for or have that time with the Lord looks like ideally what mm-hmm. I love it to look like, mm-hmm. but, it's that constant going to him, not me. Cause I do work from home now. Mm-hmm. It's really easy for me to just get up, go get my coffee and start answering emails.
Yeah.
Cause your desk is right there.
Right there. There's no,
or it's real easy to turn on the news or turn on, just get distracted. And so that is still a verse I cling to, and just a time that I want to know what he has to say. Mm-hmm. But it's not easy.
No.
And it's not some days there's a lot more time than others, but I find myself a lot of times also just turning off the TV, or when I do a lot of driving as mm-hmm. well for my job, turning off the radio. Mm-hmm. Like that, I don't know if that helps answer the question, but.
No, it does. I mean, and that's part of what we're talking about with every person. It's how do you posture yourself in today's world to hear from him. So hearing you say, like, when I get in the car, sometimes I turn everything off.
And not focusing on, like, I think immediately in my finances. Like, I think the things that I go to mm-hmm. that me as a single woman have to, operate. So I can absolutely go to those things.
Yeah.
But I also remember this kind of derails us a little bit. During the pandemic, I listened mm-hmm. to Annie F. Downs, mm-hmm. and she shared a way to remember kind of God's faithfulness, the things that he's done in our lives.
Okay.
And she said,
like a practice.
It is. And I don't have that. Like, I need a physical reminder of how he's done it. So I did the wall post-it that she kind of encouraged.
So explain that a little bit.
So I took a post-it, one of the ones you stuck on your wall, I actually mm-hmm. have it in my closet, in my bathroom, mm-hmm. and just started listing out. It's kind of like the Ebenezer Stones.
Yes. Yes.
And the ways he's been faithful to me. So uh-huh. then when I start struggling, like, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay for this? Or how am I going to make this happen? Or uh-huh.
Then you go look at that.
I do. It's a constant reminder. So
describe what that looks like now.
What that looks like now.
Is that in your
closet? Yes.
And
since the pandemic.
Yeah. Like, I mean, are there, how many post-it notes are
I mean, it can be from me looking back going, oh wow, him allowing me to go to the college I wanted to. I didn't recognize it at that time. Mm-hmm. My baptism. My father's baptism. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm-hmm. But now you go in your closet and you don't just see like 3 post-it notes. What I'm envisioning is like a collage of post-it notes.
West Campus, serving in women's ministry. Like, and mm-hmm. it can be those things of Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. but it can also be like, no, this is how he's been faithful. And it blows my mind that I'm able to be part of that.
That's so sweet.
Considering where I came from. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So if you are faced with something uncertain or you're seeking God in something, you can go look at those and just mm-hmm. be still in front of them.
Yeah.
And know that he's faithful before, he'll be faithful again.
And that's not easy either, but it's a knowing mm-hmm. that you can't control the outcome mm-hmm. of anything, mm-hmm. but look at what he's been able to do.
We can't control the outcome, but we can have eyes to see what he's doing. Right.
And it's so exciting.
Yeah. I was going to say, we didn't talk about this before, but do you want to share the story of your dad's baptism?
Oh, I'm such a crier, so I'll try to contain myself. I mean, honestly, it still blows my mind because
let's just set the historical context again, that you grew up in a home mm-hmm. where your mom was the one taking you guys to church. Then you get baptized as a young adult mm-hmm. and still your dad is...
I just remember coming home and he would be watching TV. Mm-hmm. Like he's a very silent man, unless there's mm-hmm. something really important mm-hmm. to be said. Mm-hmm. But I know, I don't know the exact time, but I feel like when I started coming to West Campus, and it might've been a few years before that, that he started coming with my mom. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was
just because she was alone.
Yeah. It might have been like mm-hmm. that. I haven't asked him, but the Lord just started prickling at his heart. Mm-hmm. And so, my parents started coming over with my friends and just, I know exposing my dad to community maybe. Mm. I don't really even know his story. I know he actually worked for Morton Jeffrey for many years.
Okay.
So I don't know the actual, but I just kept hearing him say like, I want to get baptized.
Wow.
And then
how old was he at this point?
Oh, dad's 80 now. So this was just a couple of years ago.
Like maybe in his 70s, would you say mid 70s?
Yeah, definitely. And that's been on, of course, our prayer, but mm-hmm. to see that happen before, I didn't know if I'd ever see that day happen.
How many times had you and the Lord talked about that?
Oh, probably daily.
Daily.
Yeah.
I think that's so encouraging, Melanie, because there's somebody listening that has been asking the Lord for something for a very long time and wondering, does he hear me? Does he see me? Does he know how much this matters to me? Mm-hmm. And he does. But it's so encouraging to hear stories of God's faithfulness and the faithfulness of his people, like your mom, like you, still doing the thing, taking the next step that God's asking you to. All along, you don't realize that you're modeling something to the one that you care about.
Yeah. He don't know he's watching. Mm-hmm. So it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I don't know personally, he's still a very quiet man, but I know that that's his heart, or when there's struggles in the family that he says he's praying. Like, I just am still in awe of that. Those are things that come out of his lips.
Yeah. That is so precious. Oh my goodness. Wow. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, how would you then encourage our listeners to seek his voice, to seek God?
Just keep, you know, I think of the earlier years when I was just listening to worship music. Mm-hmm. Just keep trying. Mm-hmm. Keep trying to open the word. I remember times I'd open the Bible, I didn't know where to start. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand the language. Mm-hmm. Exposing yourself to people in the community. That sounds
okay.
Really...
y'all listen to that right now, coming from somebody who works from home, somebody who you have a pretty busy schedule, but you make time for people. And I think that's because you know that you need that God designed you to need people, and they need you, right?
Yeah, there's nothing, because the more you're around people, the more you realize how much alike you are and how much you're there for each other and how much you can build each other up. 100%.
Yeah, I love that. So worship music, is that a way that the Lord speaks to you?
The initial way, because I remember, well, this is probably giving away too much, but this is going to age me with a third day. I remember, this is literally, I think my friends know this story. I was working out and there was this guy who would work out after me. I was doing kickboxing and he was jamming to this music that I loved. And I'm like, what is that? And it was Third Day.
Oh, how funny.
So I don't want to say this random guy brought me to Third Day.
Yeah.
But I will say that was the first time it got me interested, because I didn't used to listen to worship music, more like just at church or...
So what was your music of choice?
Well, that was the first one.
Before Third Day.
Oh, well, this is like the 90s, so it's got to be country.
90s country. You know, every now and then.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I will say I do think that some of us have a connection to God through worship music. Mm-hmm. And for other people, that may look different. But if that is a way that God connects with you, and knowing that you spend a lot of time in the car or, you know, going on a walk or anything like that and turning on worship music, you know that you're going to get to spend time with him. Right.
And I think it just gives words to, sometimes I can't give words to explain things. Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes I have so much in here that I can't get it out. Mm-hmm. So it gives words for that emotion or a way to articulate that thought. So
I love that. And I think you would also agree that we can take any emotion to the Lord and he listens.
That's the cool thing. He already knows.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's really, really sweet. Well, Melanie, what would you say? Are there any other stories that you want to share before
there's lots of stories, but.
Okay.
We're good.
We're so thankful that you've been willing to share a little bit of your heart and a little bit of the ways that God has been faithful to you today. How would you use descriptor words to tell somebody, this is how I know it's God's voice?
It's always kind of, I don't want to say a delicate sound. I've also heard the voice of command, and I've heard that audible one time ever, and I may never hear that again.
Well, you're not going to tell us the one time that you heard an audible, you're not going to tell us?
Well, because it's unexplainable, and it's almost like people believe that, but it's undeniable. It was a time before I was divorced, and it was just a command. And I can't explain it. I can't deny it. And it was like surround sound.
That is so sweet.
That was a long time ago. And since then, it's been more of the knowing. I also believe he speaks to me in dreams. And that sounds a little kooky to even say that.
No, but I think that we all hear differently. And so he knows everything about us. And so I do believe that he can speak to you through a dream. I believe that he can bring comfort. I believe that he can bring peace or warning or, you know, all of those things through.
But I think the common language, even if I think about the dreams, because there can be lots of wild dreams, right? Mm-hmm. Is the clarity mm-hmm. and the undeniable. You just know it's him. Mm-hmm. And there's a peace and there's a comfort. I think that's a common.
It's so encouraging right now for me to hear a single woman say that he speaks to me and I'm sure that it's him. Like, I think there's such a sweetness there, Melanie, that he sees you and he knows you and he knows that you need that and he's providing it for you. Yeah. Oh my goodness, that is so beautiful. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for reminding us that sometimes it's just a knowing. I know that this is true. It aligns with who God says he is in his word. And so I know that's him. I know that is him speaking to me. So I love that so much. And I'm grateful that you would be here today with us. As we kind of close, I wanted to read Psalms 40, verse 5. To our listeners, Melanie has been with the conference team from the beginning. When the Lord gave us this verse a couple of years ago, we thought it was just for that year. And then afterwards, we realized, oh no, that's something he wants us to hang on to for a very long time. And it's Psalms 40, verse 5, that says, O Lord, my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all of your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. And that makes me think about your wall, the collage on your wall, that you are literally trying to count the wonderful deeds he's done for Melanie. But as a group of women, as a group of followers of Jesus, if we were to try to count, there would be way too many to declare. And so we're grateful that you have all been with us on this journey for 8 weeks. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your encouragement, both to myself and to our guests. I know that our guests have received some love and encouragement from people who are listening to the podcast. This is our final episode for the season. So we do thank you for listening. I want to point you to two things. One, we have a podcast called Next Gen Now, put out through the Hills Church, and it releases every Monday. So I encourage you to hop over there and get to know our team, get to know some of our families. We're talking about discipleship and following Jesus. And I think you'll be encouraged to listen there on Mondays. And then also set your calendar. Mel, is it on your calendar?
Yes.
September 27th, 2025 is when we will be back with Wonder. It's been a beautiful day that we all come to love and adore. We are excited to host Catherine Wolf, Megan Marshman, and Faith Yuri Cho. So we don't want you to miss it. We want you to have it on your calendar. And we love you guys and we're thankful. So never lose the wonder.